This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Paradise. Well, the surf's up over at kpft.org. So mouse on over to kpft.org and pledge and renew online. It's easy, uncomplicated, and will give you that warm and fuzzy feeling of having done something good for yourself and your community. So wax that mouse, hang 10, and surf over to kpft.org and renew your membership and pledge online at kpft.org. Thank you for supporting KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace. Mahalo.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt.
And Summer Iman.
And so this evening we have a show.
Very good. Why don't you tell us about it?
Actually, in our second hour, it's J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. This month is going to be the first half of Leaping Lesbians. It's a show all about lesbian comics. And actually, there's some music in there, too. You know, I mean, it's J.D. after all, right?
Right. Right. So, he's going to put some music in there.
Right. So it's a combination of lesbian comedy and lesbian music. And in our first hour, of course, we have our feature segment from This Way Out. We have News Wrap. And we have, as our special guest in the first hour, Yolanda Jones.
Yes. City Council Member Yolanda Jones.
Running for the runoff.
Yes. Election
December 12th.
Coming up December 12th.
Early voting November 30th.
And we haven't been with you for 2 weeks because of a special last week on KPFT about the Pacific Archives. But a lot of things have happened recently. Of course, we had the election, and Anise Parker came out on top, but she didn't get the 50%, so there's going to be a runoff.
Yeah. Runoff. Okay.
And early voting starts a week from today, so you need to get out there. And there's a whole endorsement card that the caucus has put out, but of course, we're a nonprofit organization, so we do not endorse candidates here. But that's a guide that you may be interested in looking at, thecaucus.org. Another interesting thing that happened, the Washington Blade and the Southern Voice are gone.
Yes.
Yes.
Another brick off the wall, I guess.
Yes. Long time. There's some efforts locally to bring both of those newspapers back in some different form, maybe on the web. But it's really sad that such an institution is gone. They couldn't keep it going.
It's a sign of the times, I think.
Yes, that's happening. And
well,
of course,
the big newspapers are having problems, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a whole new change here. So we have that coming up. We have a lot of things coming up in next month with holidays coming up. And in January, J.D. is going to have another hour show that he's going to premiere on here. But it's going to be also on his website that he's doing, like, newer
news. Yes, it'll be a web broadcast.
Right. So all that's coming up. Let's play a little bit of music, and we'll be back.
Talking about my love.
is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And our next guest, we have to do a disclaimer that KPFT does not endorse in the elections. But we have Council Member Jolanda Jo Jones in the studio tonight. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. How
and
are you?
I'm fine. And you're in a runoff.
I am.
And for those who might be out there who may have been living in a hole recently, what position is it?
I am the incumbent, your council member for City Council at Large, position 5.
You got that, guys. Okay. Everybody remember that. And the election's coming up, so what are those dates? So let's get them out of here first.
Early vote starts a week from today, but this morning, Monday, November 30th, and it runs through Tuesday, December 8th. And Election Day is Saturday, December 12th.
And we don't want you to wait till Election Day, because that's a Saturday, so get out and early vote.
You might find some other things to do, so get out and early vote.
Go vote and bring two or three of your friends. Go vote together. Make it a party. Go down to West Gray.
Text everyone you know that lives in the city.
Go to Palm Center.
Yeah,
it's all
of that.
Very important that you go.
Well, John, this is your first run for the second term? Or
yes.
It is. So you're a first-timer.
Yes.
What are some of the accomplishments you are proud of in that first term?
Wow. Let's see where I start. I helped undo an ordinance that unconstitutionally took people's property, lived in the floodways and floodplains. I'm very proud of that because it regained people's property values. I have helped save taxpayers millions of dollars because I have learned the HUD regulations that come from the Code of Federal Regulations to stop us, the city, from violating those regs and having to send back money. So we had to send back $15.5 million to HUD because we did not know their regulations. And in fact, we just last Wednesday sent 3.1 of that 15.5 million because we didn't know the regs. So since I've been chair of the housing committee, which I am, I have worked mightily to learn the regs and stop us from doing more harm to us, because the bottom line is when we lose funding, then the people that really need it don't get it. So for example, as chair of the housing committee, we help figure out what to do with CDBG funding, which is what's used for HIV/AIDS stuff and homelessness.
Is that housing for people with HIV?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what HOPWA stands for.
Okay.
And so when we have to send money back, then we cannot use that money on things that we need.
Right. And it's hard to get it back the next year if you send.
Well, yeah, we're a problem grantee. What that means is we actually have to jump through extra hoops.
Yeah.
Because the county, for example, they almost never get in trouble because they take the time to learn the regs.
Hmm.
And so, those are some. I've found ways. I saved us over $300,000 on one truck. I've worked to help people from all sides of town, from all backgrounds. I have been fighting actually for transgender rights, in that we don't have any family unisex restrooms at the city. And it is problematic, in my opinion, that we don't have family. I mean, everywhere else has family unisex, because people should be able to go to the restroom with dignity and respect.
Speaking on the housing, does the city contribute to any of the homeless housing in the city?
Yes, we do.
Has the city done anything to open those facilities to transgendered individuals? As of now, a homeless transgender person has no place to go.
I know that we give money, for example, to Bread of Life, which is Pastor Rudy Rasmus. I know we give money to Coalition for the Homeless, and I do not know, I mean, I'll go check, because I don't know if we have, if there's some prohibition against people who are transgender.
I would appreciate that.
I will absolutely go check into that, because I have not heard that until like right now, this moment. I do know that I've been supportive of the TG Center.
Right.
And when they had their 1-year anniversary, I was there.
Uh-huh.
And so that issue is very important to me. And, you know, the Transgender Day of Remembrance, just remembering the people that have been murdered because of who they are. So I, you know, one of the reasons that I do want to make sure that we include everyone in what we do in this city and not choose as between peoples is I had a friend, and I will share this with people. I had a friend who was gay, and she and her partner were living their life, and they were a blended family, and they had children, and one of their children was bullied so much that he killed himself when he was 16.
Wow.
And he was bullied not because he was gay, but because his mom was.
Yeah.
And I don't know really if I had an opinion one way or the other about whether I was going to fight for equality for everyone. But at that moment, when a 16-year-old took his life because of the cruelty suffered by him, by other people, I said that I would work to make sure that everyone was treated equally, because I did not want to live in a world that stood silent to the pain and suffering of kids. And since then, I know that I've done seminars on knowing your rights as it relates to bullying with PFLAG.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked, actually prior to that, I worked with the NAACP to draft wills for people with full-blown AIDS, T-cell counts 200 or less. So I just don't think people should be treated differently because of who they are, and I want to be their advocate whenever I'm able to.
And going back to what you were saying, because you're on the House...
I'm chair of the housing.
I just want to make sure I was right about that. Okay, do you have sway over the Houston City Community Development? Is that part of
CDBG?
Yeah,
Community Development Block Grant funding.
Yeah, thank you.
The truth is, this is a strong mayoral form of government, mm-hmm. and the truth is, the mayor can give money to whoever he or she wants to, so long as they follow the rules of HUD. So there's never as much money as the people who need that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always going to be someone that's left out simply because there's not enough money. So when you pick one organization over another organization, the organization that doesn't get picked is not going to get picked. So you can... You know, when people come in, let me tell you, I should have brought this. Please contact my office at 832-393-3006. The reason I say that is because when we apply for HUD funding,
mm-hmm.
before we get the funding, we have to tell HUD what we're going to do with it. So we have to submit a consolidated plan, which is our plan for 5 years, for the next 5 years, what we're going to do with the money if you give it to us. And we also have to submit an action plan, which is a one-year plan. This is what we're going to do immediately with the money that you give us for the year. And we have to put in how we're going to spend the money. In other words, what nonprofits or what programs we're going to be supporting.
Mm-hmm.
But before we decide that, before we put those two separate plans together, we have to have a series of public hearings so that the public can have input. Mm-hmm. And so I say that to say this. You need to call my office to find out. I did not bring the date because I didn't know we were going to talk about this. When the public hearings are, because if you believe yourself to be a worthy charity, you need to come.
Mm-hmm.
You need to respond to RFPs, because HUD requires an RFP as a request for proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Where you tell us how you can help us provide services to citizens who need them based on the HUD guidelines. And then we will decide who we give the money to for 1 year interim and then for consolidated 5 year interim. So if you miss out on that process, you're out. Because once we tell HUD this is how we're going to spend the money, it's how we have to spend the
money.
The
government doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to go back.
No.
No, very rarely. So, I mean, HUD approves our funding based on what we tell them we're going to do. So, you know, we have a lot of people who come to council and say, well, I have this program, and it sounds like a very good program, and we need money now, we need emergency funding. HUD doesn't have all that.
Right.
HUD's... You have to apply in advance, which means you have to be prepared. You can't come at the last minute. You have to as I said, respond to the request for proposal. Mm-hmm. So all those things are very important. But it's been very important for me as I've been on council to make things transparent, which is why I'm telling you. So I'm going to give you my number at council again. Because if you have a program that you believe will provide homeless services or will provide services for HIV AIDS or will mm-hmm. provide services for health care, you know, for the poor, anything mm-hmm. like that, or will provide mental health services or outreach, or will provide food to people who don't have food, or will provide, you know, repair of housing, you know, for people who need it, who perhaps are old or poor, then you need to come to us and you need to respond to these RFPs and you need to let us know you exist, because once we pick,
mm-hmm. right.
you're out.
What's that number again?
832-393-3006.
3006.
Well, that's fascinating to know that, because many people, I'm sure, only see some results, or in many cases complain about a lack of results in some areas without ever knowing the process and right. what needed to be done. Something that was acted on 4 years ago, you just yeah. can't jump out there and take care of it. That's good. And what other committees are you on?
A number. I'm on the MWBE. The minority is, people can refer to it as affirmative action. It's really not. It's the Minority and Women's Business Enterprise Committee. Public safety, that's obviously really important to me. I'm a criminal defense lawyer in my other job, and I helped shut down the DNA crime lab, helped get rid of Chuck Rosenthal, a man who needed not to be the district attorney of Harris County because he didn't treat everybody fairly either. Just, I mean, a number of things.
Well, probably a tough question, and which is very important to our community, the GLBT community, is how is, and since you brought that up about affirmative action and all, how does our police force and fire department stand as far as opening up to GLBT individuals? And what can the city council member do?
Well, we can look at policies, but again, I did not realize what it meant to be in a strong mayoral form of government until I got elected to a strong mayoral form of government.
What does that mean, that the mayor can override what the council is proposing? Or?
No, a strong mayoral form of government is a council member does not have the authority to put anything on the agenda.
Oh.
Only the mayor does.
Okay,
you have to hope that the mayor buys into what you want. So when you go to people and say, I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that when you're running, it's a bit more difficult than that, because we don't have the authority to put it on the agenda and let people vote on it. The mayor doles out committee assignments, who's the chair of whatever committee. So, our budgets are not large at all. In fact, over 99% of my budget is salary and benefits.
So not much left after that.
I know, not much left. So we don't get to do a lot of traveling and all these other kind of things, because I do offer health insurance to all of my employees. And I know that two of my employees prior to working for me did not have health insurance. One of my employees was homeless.
Wow.
And that employee came in and interned and did a great job and impressed me so much that employee now works for me.
That's...
and has health insurance. And she hadn't had health insurance in over 10 years. So we just work really hard. But no, we don't have the authority to do that. And so it's really important, if we are to look at the police and fire department, to see. But when I have had people call me about issues, for example, Ray Hill calls me.
Probably has you on speed dial.
I'm certain he does. And I've always been responsive to him when he talked about the police going into certain establishments
mm-hmm.
and harassing people. Whenever he's called me and asked me to help look into it, I have, because we need the police to protect and to serve, not to harass.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of who you are.
Exactly.
Now, I know there was a lot of turmoil and a lot of angst around the fire department in that incident with the two women. Can you shed any light on that at this time?
Well,
because I know that there's some questions concerning the treatment of GLBT people within the fire department that's still there, that lingers.
Well, you know, it's always frustrating to me that when women make outcries, it's somehow the woman's fault, yeah, or it really didn't happen, or maybe they did it or whatever.
You caused check it. Their mental health,
I mean,
yeah,
and,
before you start looking
they
for someone.
Attack the woman. Oh, yeah.
And I will say this, that all that mess, and that's what it was, mess, started because I asked the union why they didn't protect their dues-paying member, mm-hmm, who happened to be a woman. Because the union protects people accused of doing things, which I'm all for. I think people should be innocent until proven guilty. But if you are a victim of a crime, how is it that your union can protect a person accused of doing something to someone and they don't protect you,
the victim? Right.
And Lord, what did I do that for? Then all of a sudden, you know, people are saying I'm not supportive of the fire department. Are you kidding me? I worked hard. Go ask people at the stations where I've gotten air conditioners for them when we had air conditioners that didn't work for years. Imagine being a firefighter, having to wear heavy equipment, going to fires, or for that matter, save people's lives on a regular basis all day, every day. You have to come back to a hot station. Mm-hmm. Or I've gotten stoves for fire stations. You know, you could talk to a number of firefighters and they'll tell you there's pressure, so they support me sort of silently. They've contributed to my campaign and stuff. But the pressure to be one of the boys, the fire department, I mean, of 4,000 firefighters, 100 are women.
What percentage?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Do the math.
Yeah, that's small.
I mean, it is what it is. And it's really interesting. They have millions of dollars budget, and of that budget, $1,500 is spent on recruitment of women. So let's figure that out, and let's put it in lay people's terms. If we paid somebody $10 an hour, how many hours could they work to recruit women when, I mean, $1,500? That's obnoxious. So there's not a real effort. And so I hope one day, and I hope it's while I'm elected, that we increase our numbers. The Marines have a higher percentage of women in the Marines than in the fire department.
Well, another question that still comes up, and I want to follow up on that, is that, you know, one, there is supposed to be protection for city employees, fire and police are, protections for GLBT individuals. And it seems to me that the police departments seem to be doing a pretty good job. But what about the fire department?
I don't want
to give you a loaded question. I don't want you to get in trouble here, because what I want you to... Our community wants to know what's there.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. All communities, including the GLBT community, need to support people who are not afraid to ask questions when there's unfairness. One of the problems when you start asking questions, they try to turn it against you and act like you're anti them, mm-hmm, when really you're not, because people should have non-hostile work environments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you heard some of the things that I've heard about what goes on, not with all firefighters, because I don't believe most firefighters have issues with gender and race. Mm-hmm. I think it's some, but let me tell you something. All it takes is one bully at a school,
yep,
to terrorize an entire school.
Yep. That's right.
All it takes is one. And so long as we allow that one, so long as we facilitate them, so long as we remain silent, mm-hmm, and there are people who've come to me, there have been GLBT people who are in the fire department who've come to me and, you know, asked me to look into things because they say that it's not fair. And I'm trying to do that. As I said, I've taken hits, which is fine. You know, I liken my philosophy about public servitude like this. I play sports, so I'm always using sports analogies. And one of the sports I play is football. So I'm the running back or the receiver.
Right.
And the people are the quarterback. Right. And the people get me the ball.
They throw it to you.
They either throw it to me or hand it off to me. or whatever.
You got to go. Still got to go.
And then my job is to run the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. If I get a touchdown, then I get you everything you want.
Right.
But every inch, every foot, every yard I get towards the touchdown, towards the goal line, is getting you more of what you want. My job as a receiver or running back is to take hits, because you get hit. And sometimes my job is to, you know, once they grab hold of them, is to pull them down the field, you know, kicking and screaming if I have to. That's my job, and that's why I will continue to work with and for the people. And if I have to be vocal about it, then I will be vocal.
We need that on city council.
I mean, I will be vocal.
Absolutely.
We need someone to be loud.
We need someone to speak up and speak out for issues that may not see the light of day. So, well, thank you.
Someone who's willing to take those hits and be the voice of...
I take the hits. It's interesting. When the Chronicle endorsed me,
Were you surprised? You sound surprised.
No. The reason I paused, no, because I won the endorsement in 07, and I believe I've worked hard for the people. And so I'd hoped that I'd earned it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have worked hard.
In 07, I had to tell them what I was going to do and hope I got the endorsement. But 2 years later, I hope I've earned it. But the Chronicle said that I pay attention to detail, that I'm a hard worker, and that I speak for voices of people who are ordinarily left out of the discussion at City Hall.
Amen to that.
And so I say that to say this. I consider myself a citizen of the world. I consider myself a part of every community, because we're all intertwined. And if anyone discriminates against anyone, we're all discriminated against.
That's right.
I could be in the Target next. No. Or my grandmother, or you. And so that's why, and you know, for anyone who says, oh, she's always rabble-rousing, let me tell you something. Over 98% of the time, I vote with the mayor and my colleagues. But sometimes you got to draw a line in the sand.
Absolutely.
And when you discriminate against people, and when you, in the case of the GLBT community, if you are silent, you put a kid in the position to go kill himself.
Or be killed
because you don't protect him. Yeah. So, yeah, you're
right. Give us your information again, and tell us.
I am City Council Member Jolanda Joe Jones. I used to run track, and they called me Joe Jones. So I needed to capture those people that knew me way back then.
And that's at large kid. Five.
At large position five.
And you're in the runoff.
And I'm in a runoff, and there's... Early vote, November 30th through December 8th. Please go out, vote early, and bring everyone you know, and tell all of your friends that it is important who is elected. Because we decide everything. We decide what streets get fixed. We decide whose trash gets picked up first. We decide if the streets are unsafe, who fixes them. We decide if the police, you know, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can do this, or you can do that. So it's
Jolanda, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, and don't forget to vote on December 12th.
All right.
As well.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
I'm Taryn James.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 21st, 2009. Austria's coalition government this week announced that it would introduce legislation to create civil partnerships for same-gender couples. While they would not be equivalent to heterosexual marriage, benefits would include social security, pension, and inheritance rights. The proposed bill reportedly resulted from several weeks of difficult negotiations between the ruling Social Democrats and their conservative People's Party coalition partner. The compromise legislation restates Austria's ban on adoption by same-gender couples and on lesbian couples' access to artificial insemination services. Gay and lesbian couples would also not be able to hold ceremonies at civil registry offices, as heterosexual couples can do. They would simply register their relationship at a municipal or magistrate's office. Nevertheless, Roman Catholic Church officials have condemned the legislation as unnecessary. It's still expected to pass in Parliament before the end of the year and take effect on January 1st. Jonah Solomon of the rights group Hosi Ven called the civil partnerships a first step into the future, but said that lesbi-gay activists would continue to push for full marriage equality. Others complained that the law would formalize a second-class status for same-gender couples.
Lesbian and gay couples were in several U.S. courts this week. A federal court judge ordered the U.S. government to compensate a gay couple in Los Angeles for being denied spousal benefits. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Stephen Reinhart ruled in February that Tony Sears, the legally married husband of federal public defender Brad Levinson, was wrongfully denied spousal health benefits based on sexual orientation. Discrimination on that basis is banned by both the Ninth Circuit, for which Levinson works, and California law. Reinhart this week ordered the federal government to calculate and pay what it owes the couple for outside health insurance and other medical and dental expenses they've incurred. Citing DOMA, the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management has not yet complied with Reinhart's February ruling. But he wrote this week that the denial of federal benefits to same-sex spouses cannot be justified simply by a distaste for or disapproval of same-sex marriage. There's been no comment to date by federal officials on this week's Ninth Circuit order. A bill authorizing health benefits for the same-gender domestic partners of U.S. government workers was passed by a congressional subcommittee this week.
The Defense of Marriage Act is also being challenged by several married same-gender couples in Massachusetts. They filed court documents this week charging that there is no legitimate or plausible reason for the federal government to deny recognition to legally married lesbian and gay couples. The lawsuit was brought by seven same-gender couples and three widowers, all of whom wed in Massachusetts under the state's 2004 marriage equality law. It claims that DOMA violates the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment equal protection provisions because it denies them access to several federal benefits, such as pensions, health insurance, and the ability to file joint tax returns. In a court filing in September, the U.S. Justice Department acknowledged that the Obama administration thinks DOMA is discriminatory and should be repealed, but officials have said that the department has an obligation to defend federal laws when they're challenged in court. It would take an act of Congress or a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn DOMA.
The state of New York's highest court, the Court of Appeals, this week upheld the recognition of same-gender marriages legally performed elsewhere. The cases specifically involve the extension of benefits to same-gender partners of government employees who wed out of state. They arose in response to the executive order issued by Governor David Patterson last year to recognize same-gender marriages performed in other places, which include Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, Iowa, and Canada. According to the New York Times, the narrow ruling affects only the plaintiffs and does not resolve the broader issues involving the full recognition of same-gender marriages. As the Times reported, Judge Eugene F. Piggott, Jr., writing for the majority, expressed hope that the legislature will address this controversy. A marriage equality bill passed the New York Assembly earlier this year and awaits action in the state Senate.
Gay and lesbian government workers in Arizona filed suit this week to keep their domestic partner benefits from becoming a casualty of state budgetary woes. Under a bill signed into law by Governor Jan Brewer in September, Arizona would continue to offer health benefits to heterosexual spouses, but no longer provide them to same-gender domestic partners. Lambda Legal, which is representing the couples, called it an issue of equal pay for equal work, and said that the stripping of the benefits is simply cruel and saves the state next to nothing.
Elsewhere, officials in the Philippines have refused to recognize a proposed LGBT-based political party. The country's Elections Commission decided that the group Unladlad, which means out of the closet, could not sponsor candidates in next year's elections because it tolerates immorality which offends religious beliefs. The ruling cited passages from the Bible and the Quran that condemn homosexuality. The country's Human Rights Commission voiced its support for Unladlad, calling the Election Commission's decision retrogressive. Unladlad leader Danton Ramoto, a university English professor and high-profile gay activist, filed a petition this week asking the commission to reconsider its ruling. If his group is allowed to run and wins a congressional seat, Ramoto said their focus would be on a proposed anti-discrimination bill that has been languishing for 9 years because of insufficient support. One of the elections commissioners also said this week that gays and lesbians can't be considered marginalized in society because there are already too many of them in the nation's legislature. He declined to name names, however. If the commission upholds the rejection, Ang Ladlad can bring the case to the country's Supreme Court for a final ruling.
But India's Electoral Commission has decided to add an option on voter forms for those who see themselves as neither male nor female. Those intersex and transgender people, known as eunuchs or hijras in Indian society, will now be able to check O for other. India already allows people to select E for eunuch on passports and some other government documents.
In other news, the brutal murders of two gender-variant gay teenagers this week inspired vigils and calls for justice around the world. 19-year-old Jorge Steven Lopez Mercado was killed in Puerto Rico. His body was dismembered, partially burned, and left by the side of the road near the city of Calle by a man who thought he was a female prostitute. Attorneys for the 26-year-old suspect, Juan A. Martinez Matos, said they may use a gay panic defense for their client, who is behind bars on first-degree murder charges. LGBT activists held demonstrations across Puerto Rico and in other cities around the world to mourn Lopez Mercado and to demand that his murder also be prosecuted as a hate crime. Vigils were also held this week for 15-year-old Jason Mattison Jr., who was found raped, gagged, and stabbed to death in a closet at his aunt's house in Baltimore, Maryland. 35-year-old Dante Parrish, described by the Baltimore Sun as a family friend and ex-con, has been charged with first-degree murder. He'd been released, based on a legal technicality, after serving 10 years in prison for another homicide. While the specific circumstances that led to Madison's murder are not clear, Parrish reportedly confessed and is being held without bail.
Meanwhile, events were held across the globe on November 20th, marking the 11th annual Transgender Day of Remembrance, which memorializes gender-variant people who were killed because of prejudice and hate. Observances, which included religious services, film screenings, marches, and candlelight vigils, were reported in cities across Australia, Canada, the UK, France, Italy, New Zealand, and the US, and in Belarus, Germany, Indonesia, Israel, Kenya, Malaysia, the Netherlands, Norway, the Philippines, Sweden, and Turkey.
And finally, Barbara Ann Radnofsky, a Houston lawyer and Democratic candidate for Texas Attorney General, claims that a 22-word clause in a 2005 constitutional amendment that banned same-gender marriage threatens the legal status of all marriages in the state. The problematic phrase, Radnofsky says, is subsection B, which declares that this state or a political subdivision of this state may not create or recognize any legal status identical or similar to marriage. Authors of the amendment added the clause to include a constitutional ban on same-gender civil unions and domestic partnerships. While Radnofsky acknowledged that her assertion is not likely to result in an overnight annulment of all marriages in Texas, she said the wording opens the door to legal claims involving spousal rights, insurance, inheritance, and a host of other marriage-related issues. Kelly Shackelford, president of the Liberty Legal Institute, which helped draft the amendment, said that any lawsuit based on the wording of subsection B would have about one chance in a trillion of being successful. But, says Radnofsky, whoever vetted the language in B must have been asleep at the wheel.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 21st, 2009. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Taryn James.
Last time on This Way Out, correspondents Dixie Trichel and John Townsend detailed many of the challenges confronting homeless LGBT youth, which included comments by Minnesota State Senator Scott Dibble.
Young people unaccompanied in the shelters are in highly vulnerable circumstances. LGBTQ youth are highly vulnerable out on the streets. They're coming from a background of rejection, family rejection, rejection by their peers. Many are coming out of small towns, completely alienated and lost once they show up in the big city.
In this week's conclusion of a special two-part feature, we meet Kamar, a formerly homeless gay teen, and Vi, the compassionate man who took him in.
Tell me a little bit about how you met and what you're doing. doing today?
I met Kumar at a host training. I was going to become a host in the host home program for GLBT youth, and Kumar was helping give the training. Kumar was on a youth panel. I was most impressed with the youths who spoke to us and helped us to understand what some of their issues were and what they go through, and Kumar and I had a conversation afterwards, and that sparked a little something, and then eventually we met, and Kumar read my file as a potential host in waiting, and one thing led to another. The match was made.
Kumar, then, how did you come to be involved in the host home program?
I was approximately 18 years old and had currently found myself homeless. There were some difficulties my mother had been having, and that resulted in both of us being out. And while I couldn't continue staying with her where she was at because it wasn't suitable for youth, I continued working and saving money and trying to get an apartment. On the way, I ran into a series of excellent resources, which led me to the host home program. Became a youth in waiting, basically waiting for a host to open up, which is an adult that will take a youth into their home after trainings. And I got onto the youth panel and discussion board, and that's where I met Vi. We had a wonderful commonality in the things that we were saying at that point in time. And afterwards, yeah, as he said, we talked, and I knew that eventually, if a house opened up with him, that's where I was going to be.
Mm-hmm,
and it did work out that way.
Before you got involved in the host home program, did you have places to stay as a homeless person, or were you literally on the streets?
I didn't know anyone in Minnesota. I was originally from California.
Mm.
And so I didn't have any friends where I could couch hop, per se. So yeah, I was unfortunately literally on the streets at that time. So there were a lot of open squats downtown. There were a lot of abandoned buildings in the warehouse district that had a lot of easy access for youth such as myself at that time. It's one of the reasons why I do advocate for reusing empty space and for having it open for responsible squatters and people who are willing to make improvements on it while they're staying there.
You're both now involved working with Avenues for Youth. Tell us a little bit about that program and how you're involved today.
Avenues for Youth is 15-bed transitional shelter. Youths live dorm style in many ways and home style in other ways. We eat together. They spend a lot of time in the house either socializing or working towards their finishing school, getting a job or keeping a job, thinking about the next steps for them. We accept youths ages 16 to 21. We have space for transgender youth. Our program is queer-friendly. We try to operate from a social justice, in particular giving back kind of a model.
Mm-hmm.
I think we appreciate the knowledge and the skills and the gifts that youth have to give to us.
Kumar?
Yes, I was invited to speak a little bit about the host home program for GLBT youth at a fundraiser. Senator Scott Dibble was attending, and it was important to me to be there and to say something in support of host home program. It went very well that evening, and after which I was informed that there was an opening at Avenues for Homeless Youth that I might apply for, which I did, and I now work there as a youth counselor. We let them know immediately whether or not there is an open bed. We also have an emergency bed available for youth who don't have anywhere that very night, and that can be reserved at 7 p.m., and occupied from midnight to 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, and they can use it 3 days a week, and we usually have that filled as well as the 15 beds upstairs.
If you are full, what would be another resource that folks could go to?
We have a lot of networking, and we can provide them with a full list of other shelters and transitional living spaces that are available for them, with a list of ranges in age and gender. We try our best to assist those that we can. Unfortunately, oftentimes, we are not always able to place a youth because we're so full, and so mm-hmm. we find ourselves giving out those other resources. We do need more places for the youth, and we need more options available and more attention on the issue of homelessness. GLBT mm-hmm. youth, especially because of the prejudices they already have to deal with, are finding themselves without resources and in need of assistance.
If someone is GLBT, questioning, intersex, do you know of any kind of prejudice that they've encountered?
I can speak to that. Right now, my role as a host in the host home program is as providing temporary emergency housing. So a youth will stay with me for a month to 6 weeks until we can find them a more permanent placement. I had a youth stay with me who had been at one of the adult shelters. He's mm-hmm. 18. He's gay. And some of the problems that he encountered were related to his sexuality. He had to really hide the fact that he's gay. Mm-hmm. He worried when he saw people that knew that he might get jumped there or sexually assaulted. There was some history of that occurring at these various shelters that he had stayed at. It didn't happen to him. Other things are shelter workers sometimes have biases and prejudice towards gay, lesbian, bi, and transgender and intersex folks, and will sometimes actively antagonize queer and trans and intersex folks who come to the shelter.
Oftentimes it's the case when apparent transgender youth comes into a facility, meaning perhaps they aren't fully in sync with the gender that they identify as, and it's visible to those who look at them, they find themselves singled out. There are some emergency beds and shelters where youths are sent if there's a problem to allow them to cool down. And when you immediately send a youth there, when they haven't done anything but come into your facility for assistance, all the other youth in the facility look to see what is the problem. That is the problem room. Why is that? Oh, look at that person. And the gossip commences, and it's horribly unfortunate, and it's even worse when staff participate in it or try to dissuade the youth from their identity and their life as they know it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a sharp difference between providing a youth with the needs that they require and trying to impose your personal views and beliefs upon them. That is not your job. LGBT people who aren't even a parent, because they have to hear comments and they have to decide whether or not to be themselves or to sequester themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's not a choice anyone should have to make when they're worrying about where they're going to lay their head that night.
Liberation comes before assimilation. I think a young person needs to have a safe place to be with people who have a healthy grounding and will support and enable a young person to come into their own.
We really are trying to expand that and get more GLBT adults who are capable of volunteering and have the space and the heart. GLBT adults who have the space and the time have a unique experience that enables them to relate to the GLBT youth mm-hmm. that are currently in need, because they have known what it is to combat injustice. They've known what it is to make the choice between assimilation or individuality.
I have had three young people in my home just in the last year. Being a host and being a part of a mutually supportive cross-generational relationship has really been rich for me. It really empowers our community as a whole to have these connections being made, for young GLBT people to have safe older GLBT folks.
Our thanks to Vi and Kamar and correspondents Dixie Trichel and John Townsend for turning a much-needed spotlight on the urgent care needs of homeless LGBT youth. Much more obviously needs to be done to literally save our children.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
In this month's audio file, the second album from a bisexual British singer offers no apologies. The eighth offering from an enduring lesbian duo is named for a Japanese proverb, and a gay Florida-based vocalist wants his latest CD to inspire hope and perseverance.
Teenage dream.
The first album by British artist Mika was called Life in Cartoon Motion and got him a lot of attention. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. And now Mika's eagerly awaited follow-up album is here, and it's called The Boy Who Knew Too Much.
My second album is about feeling comfortable with the fact that I write my kind of pop music and not apologizing about anything, and in the process enabling me to drop so many of the complexes that I've had over the past few years. If I'm dancing around in a bedroom on my own for my music video, it's for a reason. Especially if I'm in my underwear, it's for a reason. It's a statement on my part saying, you know what, this is how I got here, and this is how I'm going to celebrate the fact that I am here.
Like a movie that is ready for the last, coming at you with a double beam blast, at the bed of a wounded soldier, in a rush, 'cause it's
You can learn more about the album, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, at www.mikasounds.com. And Mika is spelled M-I-K-A.
The duo Wishing Chair is comprised of Miriam Davidson and Kaya Hartwood, and they mostly describe their sound as folk and roll. Their latest release is called Stand Up Eight.
Now I'll be taking calls from Paris by the poolside bar. Been standing on a poker table playing that guitar. Be holding all the aces in a company of fools. Be writing all the tickets and then breaking all the rules. Be living in an icebox, yeah, total arctic cool, but love won't let me.
This marks the fifth time we featured Wishing Chair on Audiophile. And Miriam tells us that the album's title has a philosophical origin.
Stand Up 8 is our eighth CD. It's named after a Japanese proverb, Fall Down 7, Stand Up 8. And it's a good motto for us to work with, just kind of putting our heads down and moving forward. Musically, it's mostly in-house, Kai and I and our bass player Dave, and it sounds like what I hope is our sound, the hip acoustic, soulful, rootsy, passionate. That's what I think of when I think of Wishing Chair.
I don't know a thing about love. I'm just waiting, I'm just waiting, I'm just waiting on a friend of mine. Amazing love, can you feel it? It's up and down. Amazing love, and it's raining. Oh, it's raining, now it's raining, oh, it's raining down.
You can get more information about the album Stand Up 8 at www.wishingchair.com.
The music of Nick Granato is infused with political and social commentary and also inspiration.
You'll never see love separate or divide. Love does not discriminate, never chooses sides. You can always count on love against all odds. Even when it seems all hope against all hope is gone. Cause love is patient, love is kind. True love stands the test of time. When you're down, love will lift you up. Knowing love will never leave you stranded, all alone and empty-handed. When you fall, real love never runs. Cause that's just what love does.
In Real Life is the name of the latest album by Nick Granato.
In Real Life, the way I see it, is a declaration of life. The album, from beginning to end, is a journey of sorts from my life's perspective, and it touches on everyday issues. I wrote songs to reflect what I felt was important and needed to be said. Hope, compassion, equality, which is very important right now, perseverance, friendship, love, it's all in there. I hope the songs inspire folks to really embrace life and live with a passion, but most importantly, to make a difference.
Taking my turn, standing up to stand out of the crowd. Yeah, that's what I love about living out loud. Cause life's for the living, gotta dance while you can. Leave a dime for the dead, you gotta take another chance. Have some fun, turn it upside down.
Find out more about the album In Real Life at www.nickgranato.com. That's www.nickgranato.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can learn more about Audiophile or contact us by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Taryn James, Rick Watts, Rex Walking with Bill Kelly, Dixie Trichel and John Townsend, Sherry Lund, and J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Mika, Wishing Chair, and Nick Granato performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.com. To support our work, listen to our podcasts, read this week's news wrap, and subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alert, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KCSB. B, Santa Barbara, California, 5CST, Southwest Adelaide, South Australia, WTIP, Grand Marais, Minnesota, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
It sounds like you've got a ringtone for everyone.
I've got one for my best friend, my parents, work, and one for almost everyone.
Go, go.
Oh, sorry.
I wonder what a ringtone for KPFT would sound like.
Maybe it would sound like this.
Recent congressional actions have put the federal funding of community radio stations at risk, including KPFT.
That used to be money dedicated to the public good, but with public funding being politicized, many community media outlets could be silenced.
That's why KPFT depends on you now more than ever for its financial future. Over 90% of our funding comes from you.
If you haven't renewed your pledge or if you have never made a pledge, you can visit kpft.org now to support this station.
Once again, that's kpft.org to pledge your support. You are listening to KPFT Houston.
Pacifica is listener-sponsored radio. What does that mean?
Listener sponsorship is an answer to the practical problem of getting better radio programs and keeping them.
A focus on advertisers or the mass audience accounts for the mediocrity of corporate radio.
When listeners support the radio they enjoy, their choices become better.
Listener sponsorship takes control of your radio out of the hands of companies and into the hands of the community.
But maintaining this sort of radio requires you.
Your pledge of support keeps KPFT on the air as a vital community resource.
So call our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314, to become a member today.
You can even go online at kpft.org to make your pledge.
Your pledge is essential to keep listener sponsorship viable for generations to come.
So call 713-526-4000 to support KPFT.
This is commercial-free listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
KPFT, Houston.
This is Kate Clinton, and I thank you, as always, for coming out. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
Hey, would you like to know something interesting? I know what a lesbian is. Yes, I do. There's these two pretty ladies that live down the block in that greenhouse with three dogs in the yard. And I asked them why there's no daddy at their house, and they said it's because they are lesbians. They told me it. Yes, and I seen them kiss each other goodbye on their porch yesterday. I wouldn't ask Mama if she knew what a lesbian was. She said she didn't know. So I told her. She knows now. I think I will change my name from Edith Ann to Lesbian. I think it sounds cute. And that's the truth.
We hope this next song will make you feel all warm and nostalgic. It's a camp song. Well, it used to be a camp song, but Lisa's totally rewritten it, so now it's a camp song. Get it? Camp. Okay, I'll just stop.
We wear Birkenstocks, lesbian. We drive pickup trucks, lesbian. We've all got an aunt who's a lesbian. Oh, yes, lesbian.
Brings back a flood of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. We don't eat red meat except some of the time. Lesbians. We like pocket knives. Lesbians. We don't tip real well. Ooh. Lesbians. Oh, yes. Lesbians.
Okay, now here's a special verse for all the non-lesbians out there.
That's me.
That's right. Even you men. Here we go. We wish we could be lesbians.
We wish we could be lesbians.
We'd join a softball team.
We'd join a softball team. Lesbians.
But we're not tough enough.
But we're not tough enough to be lesbians.
Bench warmer.
Bench warmer. Lesbians.
That's right. Let's modulate. We throw solstice parties, everybody.
We throw solstice parties. Lesbians.
We use power tools.
We use power tools. Lesbians.
We own dogs that are part wolf.
We own dogs that are part wolf. Lesbians. Oh, yes.
That was Camp Song by Das Fallopia, and I think it epitomizes the definition of a lesbian comedy song, because I think the best comedy contains elements you can identify with, finds humor in our own lives, and looks at a culture's idiosyncrasies with an offbeat approach. Why am I telling you this? Because this is an edition of Queer Music Heritage like none I've done before. This is J.D. Doyle, and this is Queer Voices on KPFT, and I'm calling this month's show, Those Funny Lesbians. It's a tribute to lesbian comedy, and while yes, this is queer music heritage, for this topic I'm opening it up to include stand-up comedy. Oh, before I played Das Fallopia, you heard a snippet called Edith Ann on Lesbians, which of course was by Lily Tomlin. It's an obscure clip from a 1970s San Francisco radio program called The Gay Liberation Follies. So, I will be mixing music and stand-up comedy, and for my feature interview, well, I don't think I could have found anyone more qualified, as she's almost completed her third decade of doing out-of-the-closet comedy. She's Kate Clinton. But before we get to that, I want to cover some of the early history of lesbian comedy. And I'm talking about the 1970s. In that decade, well, it was very early to be doing openly lesbian comedy material, and the artists doing it braved the waters first by being known as feminist comedians. The pioneers were Harrison and Tyler. Pat Harrison and Robin Tyler released two comedy albums, starting with Try It, You'll Like It in 1972, and following that 1 year later with one called Wonder Women. Here's a short clip from Wonder Women where you can hear them get close to the line, but don't quite cross it.
We know what you're thinking. You're thinking, who are they? Right?
Well, we're not Cheech and Chong and drag.
Right.
He says, yeah, look.
This is Kate Clinton, and I thank you, as always, for coming out. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
Hey, would you like to know something interesting? I know what a lesbian is. Yes, I do. There's these two pretty ladies that live down the block in that greenhouse with three dogs in the yard, and I asked them why there's no daddy at their house, and they said it's because they are lesbians. They told me it. Yes, and I seen them kiss each other goodbye on their porch yesterday. I wouldn't ask Mama if she knew what a lesbian was. She said she didn't know. So I told her. She knows now. I think I will change my name from Edith Ann to Lesbian. I think it sounds cute. And that's the truth.
We hope this next song will make you feel all warm and nostalgic. It's a camp song. Well, it used to be a camp song, but Lisa's totally rewritten it, so now it's a camp song. Get it? Camp. Okay, I'll just stop.
We wear Birkenstocks, lesbian. We drive pickup trucks, lesbian. We've all got an aunt who's a lesbian. Oh, yes. Lesbian.
Brings back a flood of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. We don't eat red meat except some of the time. Lesbians. We like pocket knives. Lesbians. We don't tip real well. Ooh. Lesbians. Oh, yes. Lesbian.
Okay, now here's a special verse for all the non-lesbians out there.
That's me.
That's right. Even you men. Here we go. We wish we could be lesbians.
We wish we could be lesbians.
We join a softball team.
We join a softball team. Lesbians.
But we're not tough enough.
But we're not tough enough to be lesbians.
Bench warmer.
Bench warmer.
That's right. Let's modulate. We throw solstice parties, everybody.
We throw solstice parties. Lesbians.
We use power tools.
We use power tools. Lesbians.
We own dogs that are part wolf.
We own dogs that are part wolf. Lesbians. Oh, yes.
That was Camp Song by Das Fallopia, and I think it epitomizes the definition of a lesbian comedy song, because I think the best comedy contains elements you can identify with, finds humor in our own lives, and looks at a culture's idiosyncrasies with an offbeat approach. Why am I telling you this? Because this is an edition of Queer Music Heritage like none I've done before. This is J.D. Doyle, and this is Queer Voices on KPFT, and I'm calling this month's show, Those Funny Lesbians. It's a tribute to lesbian comedy, and while yes, this is queer music heritage, for this topic I'm opening it up to include stand-up comedy. Oh, before I play Das Fallopia, you heard a snippet called Edith Ann on Lesbians, which of course was by Lily Tomlin. It's an obscure clip from a 1970s San Francisco radio program called The Gay Liberation Follies. So, I will be mixing music and stand-up comedy, and for my feature interview, well, I don't think I could have found anyone more qualified, as she's almost completed her third decade of doing out-of-the-closet comedy. She's Kate Clinton. But before we get to that, I want to cover some of the early history of lesbian comedy. And I'm talking about the 1970s. In that decade, well, it was very early to be doing openly lesbian comedy material, and the artists doing it braved the waters first by being known as feminist comedians. The pioneers were Harrison and Tyler. Pat Harrison and Robin Tyler released two comedy albums, starting with Try It, You'll Like It in 1972, and following that one year later with one called Wonder Women. Here's a short clip from Wonder Women where you can hear them get close to the line, but don't quite cross it.
We know what you're thinking. You're thinking, who are they?
Right? Well, we're not Cheech and Chong and drag.
Right.
He says, yeah, look.
This is Kate Clinton, and I thank you, as always, for coming out. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
Hey, would you like to know something interesting? I know what a lesbian is. Yes, I do. There's these two pretty ladies that live down the block in that greenhouse with three dogs in the yard. And I asked them why there's no daddy at their house, and they said it's because they are lesbians. They told me it. Yes, and I've seen them kiss each other goodbye on their porch yesterday. I wouldn't ask Mama if she knew what a lesbian was. She said she didn't know. So I told her. She knows now. I think I will change my name from Edith Ann to Lesbian. I think it sounds cute. And that's the truth.
We hope this next song will make you feel all warm and nostalgic. It's a camp song. Well, it used to be a camp song, but Lisa's totally rewritten it, so now it's a camp song. Get it? Camp. Okay, I'll just stop. We wear Birkenstocks, lesbian. We drive pickup trucks, lesbian. We've all got an aunt who's a lesbian. Oh, yes, lesbian. Brings back a flood of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We don't eat red meat except some of the time. Lesbian. We like pocket knives. Lesbian. We don't tip real well. Ooh. Lesbian. Oh, yes. Lesbian. Okay, now here's a special verse for all the non-lesbians out there.
That's me.
That's right. Even you men. Here we go. We wish we could be lesbians.
We wish we could be lesbians.
We join a softball team.
We join a softball team. Lesbians.
But we're not tough enough.
But we're not tough enough to be lesbians.
Bench warmer.
Bench warmer. Lesbian.
That's right. Let's modulate. We throw solstice parties, everybody.
We throw solstice parties. Lesbian.
We use power tools.
We use power tools. Lesbian.
We own dogs that are part wolf.
We own dogs that are part wolf. Lesbian. Oh, yes. Lesbian.
Was Camp Song by Dos Filoni.
I see you coming, can tell right away you are just another woman in it for those plays. You're tired of your lover, you're tired of your man, and you think you'll get a little from a lesbian friend. I got news for you, don't want your head to roll. Because I've played it before. Well, the missionary love has made you ever so bored. You do some exploring, you get what you can, then you go and leave me lonely and run back to your man. I got news for you, don't want your head to roll blue. You think you found the answer, you find, and then a little while later you abruptly change your mind, and I'm left to mend. I know how it feels when a woman walks across you in 6-inch heels. We'll be right back.
I don't know if I'm drunk. I don't know. Every single beat of my heart feel like a boom, boom, boom. I could be the sun come up on that guilty spreading skin. Amor es un fuego por una vez lo seguiré. Dígame, I don't know if I'm drunk, I don't know if it's last night's past, but it feels like I'm falling in love. For love is a fire. I raise this flag for you.
type of every dream you catch, you miss one. So much of life just races by. It was time to tell Daddy this one. She sat down in the corner. She could still see the door. She said, Daddy, I gotta tell you something I've never said before. He said, shh. Everybody has a war. See, it's not about oil, and it's not about guns, and it's not about rainbows. It's about daughters and sons. If you believe in tomorrow, and I have taught you well, 'cause if you don't believe in yourself, then life's a living hell. You'll always shine in front of me. All the world could see if it wanted to. I raised this flag for you. Me too.
The and drills in their hands. Cordless screwdrivers, jigsaws and miners. How to? How to? How to's are a girl's best friend.
I got the sweetest song, and the birds of it. away from hotels and truck stops when I've been too long gone away. And I can see Cincinnati from the Kentucky side. No, I can't walk clean when I look out on the night. I see a slow train crossing the bridge over the Ohio World. She bends and she winds and she's taking her time, but nobody can stop her.
From behind, the streets were quiet.
a perfect memory of when things are so good and everything is worked out just the way we knew it would. Yes.
Can't explain, but anyhow, you really matter. Thy kingdom come to every nation. Thy will be done in everything we do. Lord, lead us now into temptation, but deliver us from those who think they're you. Lord, send us forth to be of service, to build the schools, to dig the well, and deliver us from the creepy preachers with their narrow minds and very wide lapels. Thy kingdom.
Listening to Queer Voices.
heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
There are places you go to get the quick news.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.